You can read his work at brownzone.com. He's not happy that he has a headline there that says rookie Quinshon Judkins arrested in Florida on domestic violence charge, but he had to write the story. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Scott.
Okay. Hey, just for to set the record straight on this a little bit, I just happened to look up on the Browns roster just to check in the number of running backs, and I made note that Quinshon Judkins is no longer listed on the Browns website on the roster. And I thought, well, I wonder, is that because he's not signed as a second-round pick? For whatever it's worth, Travion Henderson and Luther Burden, both second-round picks, both unsigned on the respective websites of the Patriots and the Bears. So for whatever that's worth, right now Judkins is not listed on the roster.
He hadn't been on there because he was unsigned. So even before this, he was in his own separate category on there.
Okay. So other teams are and our team isn't. So that's fine.
Correct.
Regardless, is he in uniform? We don't know that. We're going to have to let this play out. Well, all we know is that something happened and it's a bad look, Scott.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Jeff. And, you know, from a non-football perspective, it's terrible. Anytime you hear domestic violence, and obviously we have to let the situation play out and see how it develops, but anytime you hear domestic violence, it's terrible. It's a bad look for the player, the organization, for the league. The league has made some efforts to try to increase the penalties for anything related to domestic violence, especially, you know, following that Ray Rice incident. It's bad. It's bad that the Browns have to deal with it. It's bad for the fans that they, you know, have to be put through this, and it's not the first time. It's not the first time this offseason Devin Bush had something. It's still in the court process. Last year, Mike Hall Jr., another second-round pick out of Ohio State, faced, I don't know how similar the cases are, but it was a domestic violence or domestic incident in his house that got him suspended for, I think, it was 5 games. So, the Browns have been through this before, so that's the off the field. And then from a football perspective, you know, the Browns are counting on Quinshon Judkins to be, I think, the workhorse back. And we have talked all offseason about the recommitment to the run. Well, you don't draft a guy at number 36. You don't draft a running back at number 36 without the expectation that he is going to help transform that run game, be the number one guy. I expected it to be week one. I don't know if that changes given this weekend's events. It could, if he's suspended by the league and not available week one, it could affect how the Browns view him. That's to be determined. But, you know, when you look at, okay, the formula to win games is run the ball a bunch and play great defense, you need that number one back to run the ball. And right now, I would say there's uncertainty with the guy I thought was going to be their number one back.
So how do you think they approach it? Do they go into this going, okay, well, we got to plan on him probably being out for 6 weeks? Or, I mean, it doesn't matter if he's guilty or not guilty or any of that. I mean, the league's going to do what they want, right? And if the standard is 6 games, how do you approach this if you're the Browns offense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we know that he won't be there week one. I think you have to let it play out a little bit longer. But they have Jerome Ford, and I think Jerome Ford's value went up this weekend with the arrest of Quinshon Judkins. You know, I like Jerome Ford. I don't think he's a big-time starting back in this league, but he is a NFL running back. There's no doubt about that. He has started plenty of games with this team, but they went and drafted Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson for a reason. They wanted an upgrade at running back. So, you know, I don't know if it's 50-50 or what the chances are, but I think the chances are much better right now that Jerome Ford's your week one starter, and I think it also increases the chances of playing time for Dylan Sampson, who spent a lot of the offseason working at slot receiver. Maybe he becomes the third down back, which was probably a role that was going to be Jerome Ford's. You know, Pierre Strong, where does he fit in this running back room now? You know, I just think there's a lot of uncertainty, but I don't think they're going to stop with their goal of running the ball. I think that's still going to be the plan, and they're just going to have to use those other guys on the roster.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com. Dylan Sampson, to me, was sitting there as, okay, well, I hope you get some opportunities to show what you can do, and, well, you seem really intriguing. This could lead to more opportunities for him. Scott, guy led his conference in rushing and touchdowns last year, and he looks like he's a looks like he could become a big time running back. This is an opportunity that he wasn't expecting. Probably we'll see how it plays out, but and if it leads to an opportunity for him, he's got to jump all over that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think he's an interesting case, Jeff, because when they drafted him, I really liked him at Tennessee. And I know he's not the biggest guy. He's 5'8".
Ran hard, though. Ran between the tackles really well.
Yeah, he does run hard. And he got a bunch of carries in his 1 year as a starter at Tennessee. So I spent a lot of the offseason asking coaches and people and his former coaches and even Dylan, like, you know, where do you fit with Quinshon? Is it a thunder and lightning thing? Are you guys similar? And I thought that Dylan Sampson could be more of a featured back as well. But the more people I talked to, and even Deuce Staley, when we talked to him at the end of minicamp, made it sound like, no, he is the change of pace. He's a guy they're going to use at receiver. Yes, he can play some third down. But I had no indication that, okay, he's going to get a bunch of reps, you know, on first and second down as the ball carrier. Well, that could change now, right? I mean, that's where this could get interesting. And I think he has that ability. I think there's some worry that, you know, because he's not the biggest body, that you can only use him so much. So they would probably, you know, balance him with Jerome Ford. But if Quinshon Judkins misses any amount of time for whatever reason, I do think that gives Dylan Sampson an opportunity that I don't think he necessarily would have had early on in his career as a true ball carrier.
Scott, how does I think part of it is like people are going, oh, the Browns, here we go with the Browns again. But it's a league-wide problem. It's not just the Browns. The Browns are maybe in the upper half of the middle of the pack when it comes to players arrested. I don't know. What can the league possibly do to try to stop these guys from just – and I don't have the facts for it, but I wonder how many of these arrests actually happen between the end of mini camp and the beginning of regular camp. What can the league do?
Yeah, it's interesting. I heard what Dan was saying before you guys went to commercial. I don't know where the Browns rank. I know that obviously we're so focused on the Browns that it feels like everything is, oh my gosh, drama. And I'm not going to ignore that. And the Deshaun Watson, according to Deshaun Watson, with everything that he was going on, that everything that was going on with him, right, the two dozen sexual misconduct allegations, like that just tilts the scale so much. But if you took Deshaun Watson out of the equation, then, you know, I think the Browns would probably rank with most teams. I would argue that I don't think it's gotten any worse with Andrew Barry and Kevin Stefanski. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I remember sitting in front of John Dorsey, having him explain the decision to draft Antonio Callaway and to sign Kareem Hunt, right, when he was going through things. So I don't think this is necessarily a Barry Stefanski thing. But when you ask about the league, you know, I don't know, Andy, it's doing as much as it can, or it's trying to do a lot. You know, the league's hands are tied by, you know, just how much you can do, you know, given the criminal justice system and, you know, how much jurisdiction you have. Can you suspend a guy forever? And I mean, there's just a lot of issues that go on that I think makes it hard for the league. And then you have the added factor of, well, you don't want to sit down your best players forever, right? Or for a long time. I mean, I don't know if that's right or wrong. I just know that that's a concern for the league, right? If Tyreek Hill gets into trouble, I don't think the league wants to sit down Tyreek Hill for a long time because he's one of his, you know, most electrifying players. So the league has to deal with that. It's a business. I don't agree with a lot of stuff the league does. I'm sure it could come down harder, and I know it could have come down earlier, right? I feel like even any of the emphasis in the last decade on trying to curb domestic violence and crack down on the players was late. And I think they're trying to make up ground and – have they made up enough? Probably not. I think that is a concern for them. But I would also say, you know, it's a societal problem too. So I don't think it's just the NFL. But the spotlight is so bright, and we write about it and we talk about it, that it can't be ignored, and it shouldn't be ignored. I just think it's a really difficult problem to say, okay, Roger Goodell, you know, make sure how many guys are in the league? 1,500 guys in your league, that nobody's doing anything stupid between, you know, June 1st and July 25th.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com. That situation will play out. We'll see where more facts should emerge. We'll find out, and we'll see if he's able to go. So I think we've covered that one pretty well. Let me ask you this one, though. With rookies starting up on Friday, how in the world are they going to get reps for four quarterbacks and make a decision? How's that going to work? Any idea?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be easy, and I don't even know if that's – I'm not sure that that's the number one goal.
Yeah, Jeff. Is it even a plan? You know, that's
right. Yeah, I think it was during OTAs and minicamp, certainly, and we saw the two fields with, you know, a lot of times it was the rookies or even just Shedeur Sanders on one field getting reps to maximize that. I think in training camp it makes it harder to do. I could see the first week before they go into any kind of game planning for the preseason, while they're still, you know, going over installations again, I could see them split the fields and have simultaneous drills going on to get the quarterbacks as many reps as possible. But I think at some point that has to stop, and I think it will be relatively early. And then you see, I would suspect, you see Shedeur Sanders get way fewer reps than the other three guys. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's closed the gap or passed Dylan Gabriel. I don't get that sense, even though I thought he performed better in the offseason than Dylan Gabriel. And I think it's about Joe Flacco versus Kenny Pickett, who's going to be your starting quarterback, and then where Dylan Gabriel fits in to that discussion. Does he really have a chance? Are you looking at him to be the backup, or are you going to keep four and have whoever loses the starting quarterback job between Pickett and Flacco be the backup? And I don't know how they feel about that. Part of me thinks that it's going to be a rookie that's going to be the backup, and they move on from one of the veterans, but I could certainly see them keeping all four guys.
What's your take on Kenny Pickett and Jerry Jeudy working out here in the offseason on their own time?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good. You know, that's common throughout the league. It's been common with Browns quarterbacks in the past. You know, they have a history. I remember the first time we talked to Kenny after the Browns traded for him. He mentioned that he had worked out with Jerry Jeudy in Florida. So I think that's helpful. Judy's by far the number one receiver on this team. So if Kenny Pickett's going to get some chemistry with anybody, that'd be a great guy to get it with. I don't know if that tips the scales at all when we're talking about who's going to be your starter week one.
All right. I'm sorry you had to write something you weren't expecting to write, and you're going to lead to more stories on the same subject, but we'll be following you on brownzone.com and get all the news we need to have. Thanks, bud.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Petrak on the Fan Hotline.